Gospel according to St. Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
On leaving the synagogue, Jesus entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Simon's mother-in-law lay sick with a fever. They immediately told him about her. He approached, grasped her hand, and helped her up. Then the fever left her and she waited on them. When it was evening after sunset, they brought to him all who were ill or possessed by demons. The whole town was gathered at the door. He cured many who were sick with various diseases and drove out many demons, not permitting them to speak because they knew him. Rising very early before dawn, he left and went off to a deserted place where he prayed. Simon and those who were with him pursued him, and on finding him said, "Everyone is looking for you." He told them, "Let us go on to the nearby villages that I may preach there also. For this purpose have I come." So he went into their synagogues, preaching and driving out demons throughout the whole of Galilee. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Beginning of ordinary time, the Church is constantly giving us the coordinates so that we might live this ordinary time in the extraordinary way with the gift of the Lord's presence. So in the letter to the Hebrews, after having in these last couple of days stressed who the Lord is, the definitive word of the Father to whom all the prophets pointed, how he for a little time lowered himself beneath the angels in coming into us, into our situation, into our own life, to be able as the eternal high priest to take us back to God. In Jesus, who is doing that as a whole, we see today one of the ways in which he does it, that he enters into the experience of our own sufferings precisely to take away our fear of suffering, and through suffering, transform us redemptively. Since children share in blood and flesh, in weakness, in other words, in blood that can be shed, Jesus likewise shared them, so that through death, he might destroy the one who has the power of death, and free those who through fear of death have been subject to slavery their whole life. The great fear is to die, and especially to die in a horrible suffering. And because of that, the devil's able to manipulate us in lots of ways. Our staurophobia, which is one of our greatest crosses, our fear of the cross, our fear of having to undergo things that are unpleasant, that are painful, etc. It's what the devil uses to manipulate us, to hold us hostage. And Jesus, in entering into our own sufferings and entering into our own death, is precisely through that to take away the fear. We see it in the first disciples. After Jesus rose from the dead, these people who all ran away from the soldiers who were arresting Jesus were no longer afraid when the same people who had Jesus crucified were putting them within their crosshairs and saying, "Unless you obey us, the same thing will happen to you." They weren't afraid anymore because of what they had seen Jesus do to death, take out the stinger. It was like having a few bees around who you know could no longer sting. The fear of the wasps, the fear of the bees, has now been totally minimized. That's what Jesus was doing as our eternal high priest, entering into our suffering, entering even to our death, so that we would no longer be a slave to the fear of what might happen to us, but recognize that even if that happened to us, it couldn't separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. He had to become like his brothers and sisters in every way, except sin, of course, that he might be a merciful and high priest before God to expiate the sins of the people. And then one of the most consoling lines of sacred scripture, which will be repeated two chapters later. Because he himself was tested through what he suffered. He's able to help those who are being tested. We have this type of merciful high priest who has been tempted in every way that we are, but didn't cave in. He's coming to strengthen us precisely through all of these experiences, to help us to learn from him how to unite them to God, so that in these experiences which the devil wants to use to enslave us, Jesus wants precisely through the same experience to lead us toward free transcendence in him. With that as the sort of big picture introduction, we get into four ways he was doing that in today's gospel. We know, based on these last 2 days, of what Jesus was doing in the synagogue. He was preaching all day and curing. Sabbath is over. He goes to St. Peter's house, obviously for a meal, which was the custom on the Sabbath. Soon as he enters into the house, they tell him that Simon's mother-in-law was ill with a fever. The Greek word there is burning fever. It wasn't 99 degrees, it was closer to 104. It was the type of fever that could kill people. Jesus immediately went, and he did something. He approached, so he wasn't afraid to catch it. He grasped her hand to give her strength. He helped her up. Think about what that means. Would have been one thing if he cured her and then helped her up. But he helped her up first, which required faithful cooperation on her part. She's ill with a burning, life-threatening fever, and he's getting her out of bed when she is full of pain. And after that cooperation, the fever left her. Jesus was entering into her own suffering, grasping her suffering, not afraid. But it was through that suffering, through the faith in which she was uniting herself to him suffering, that she was cured. So often, Jesus approaches us and what we're going through. He grasps us by the hand. He's not afraid of the experience. He tells us to get up, to trust in him, to keep walking, not to stay there, letting something fester. And it's through that experience that we begin to experience the power of his healing, because the physician is there, healing from the inside. As a parenthesis, soon as she was cured, as we've talked about, she used her newfound health immediately to serve. A lot of the times when we've been sick for a while and we get better, there are lots of things that we would like to do for ourselves that we weren't able to get to. Fun things on occasion that we just couldn't do, or the whole thing, a whole series of things that have stacked up that we haven't been able to get to because of the illness. Simon Peter's mother-in-law shows us a different way. She immediately gets up and cares for them. At least for me, sisters, that's not the first thing I do after I sort of am healed of something that was really sick, deep sickness. I don't immediately want to pour myself out for others. I want to recover. Our health, however, is meant to be used for this good service. Simon Peter's mother-in-law shows us why Jesus does heal us. He heals us precisely so that we can use our health to love. So Jesus enters into our physical illnesses. Next, when it was evening after sunset, they brought to him all who were ill or possessed by demons. The whole town was gathered at the door. When I was in Capernaum a couple weeks ago, they've excavated so much of Capernaum, and Capernaum is huge. Capernaum is huge. You see the expanse of the houses. We could be talking about 3,000 or 4,000 people trying to get into Peter's small little house. about the size of this chapel. Whole town's at the door. Jesus preached all day. It would have been very easy for him to do a group healing service. It would have been very easy for him to say, "Can you please come back tomorrow?" But once you saw the three stars in the sky, which symbolized that the Sabbath was now over, people start dragging everybody in the midst of that darkness to Simon Peter's house. And Jesus went one by one and cured them all. Again, entering into everyone's experience, not just the general experience, your experience and his experience and her experience. He drove out demons and he healed the various illnesses, so that through that experience, people might be able to grow in faith. That's the type of high priest we have. In healing us of our illnesses, he was trying to heal us of what the fear of the illnesses would lead to, death. And in expunging the demons, he was trying to heal us of the phobia that we have, that the devil's really stronger than God, and that there's no way that we can triumph over that power of evil. Third thing Jesus did, after having healed for what must have been several hours, maybe he caught a little bit of shut-eye, but rising very early before dawn, he left and went off to a deserted place where he prayed. How hard he was working wasn't an excuse not to pray, because prayer wasn't a duty for Jesus. Prayer was the great desire of his life. Just like, for example, a husband who's worked very hard and had a long day at work, he doesn't just go and book a hotel and say, I don't want to have to go home and see my wife and my family. He goes home precisely because he loves them. He might not be all there, but he's going not as a duty, he's going as the internal obligation of love to experience the joy of being with the ones he loves so much. In the same way, even though Jesus was fatigued, Jesus was eager to go and have that time listening and speaking and entering into communion, this dialogue of persons with his Father by the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus went off. So often, sisters, listen, I know I stand here in the pulpit looking at you sometimes where the gravity on your eyelids is noticeable. Sometimes you're up. Sometimes you're there at the childbirth. Sometimes, whatever, you can't sleep for this reason or that reason. Sometimes you have to drag the donkey to the chapel. I know. Sometimes I have to drag myself out of bed and walk up First Avenue to be able to get here early too, but it's worth it because we're doing it impelled by the attraction of the one that we love the most. Jesus, by entering into the experience even of our own fatigue, our experience of being overworked, and showing us that the real refreshment comes when we're yoking ourselves to the Lord in this way, he helps us there too. And then finally, Simon and those who were with him pursued Jesus, looking for where he was on the outskirts there of Capernaum. Finding him, they said, "Everyone is looking for you." It would have been so easy for Peter and the others to basically say, "Woohoo, Jesus, give us a high five, man. Everybody's looking back for you. What you did yesterday, everybody's coming back for a little bit more. You've already cured people. They can't get enough of you. You've got a captive audience. Come back." Jesus wasn't doing it to win anybody's applause. He wasn't doing it to win anybody's gratitude. Jesus was doing it as the eternal high priest in order to bring people to salvation. And he was filled with an urgency. And his response was, "Let us go on to the nearby villages that I may preach there as well. For this purpose I have come." He had a clear sense of what he was doing. He was not coming to win acclaim. He was coming to save. And he knew that what he had done in Capernaum had to be done in other places. and he was hungering for a desire to do that. So often we can want to rest in the situations that we've fixed and cleansed. You know, there's an experience in the priesthood, which is a great temptation, actually, where when people who are firemen go in and fix really messy situations, and it takes years. To turn a parish around takes years. But once you've done it, once you've fixed everything and the place is humming, you want to enjoy it for a little while. You want to build on it. You want to continue. And then what normally happens is once you've fixed one place, they give it to the lazy priest to come on in and enjoy the fruit and sends you to fix something 10 times worse. And we need, especially priests, to understand this experience, that after Jesus has healed everybody, after he's put in such an extraordinarily long day, one by one, where he could relax for a little bit, he was internally moved to say, let us go to the nearby villages to do the same thing. For this reason I have come. We have to have that healthy interior compulsion to be able to do these things like Jesus to the next place, even though on occasion we'd like to stay in a situation that has become easier for us because often of the hard work that we've put on in to make it better. The Lord will maybe give us another mess to go fix. I always ponder this. And I would encourage you in the peripatetic way that you're going to live out your vocation to ponder it as well. So that when the situation comes and Mother says to you, I'm transferring you here, you're ready to go. Because you've always been ready to go. I know that there's a time in which I'm going to come here and say to you, sisters, to the nearby metropolis is I must go. For this reason I've been sent, and I'll miss you for the rest of my life, but it's not going to last forever. We need to be ready always to go rather than to stay, because our faith is fundamentally dynamic. And when we know that, and when we're moved in that way, we're able to appreciate so much more the experiences that we have. So 4 ways the eternal high priest enters into our humanity, so that whatever fears and phobias we may have there would be able to be taken away, so that we can be truly free in him. First, the experience of our illness and our fear of death. Second, our experience of fear of being exhausted by caring for everyone when there are so many needs. Third, our experience that if we prioritize God in prayer, we'll suffer in the other areas. And fourth, the experience of having to pick up and leave a situation which we're comfortable and go to the unknown. Jesus is showing us as our priest, do not be afraid. I'm with you in each of those experiences. Come with me. And all of this leads, of course, to the Holy Eucharist, in which Jesus comes to us, approaches, grasps us, not by the hand, but from the heart and the inside, tells us to arise so that precisely we can go and do this type of charity in his memory. That he wishes to have a personal relationship with us in the Mass, just like he did with everyone who needed him at Peter's house, that he wants to meet us here as we very early in the day go out to meet him and meet the Father through him. He also wants us to be ready so that today, even though we're not going to get a change of assignment in the big picture, we might recognize that as you travel from here to 71st Street and whatever else the Lord's asking of you today, that the reason why God has made you and you have come here is precisely to take that good news outward. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Amen.